glorify thy name throughout the earth. And here we are. I hope each of you this morning can take just a moment, reflect on your week, how God has been present in your week, what he's done for you this week, and what you've discovered this week about our God. He's a great God and a loving God who will care for us, watch over us, strengthen us in our time of need. Think about that this morning as we go to prayer. How has God worked this week in your life? And we are here in thanksgiving for all that he has done. Join me in prayer, would you please? Father, we come to you this morning on this Lord's Day. We thank you first for the love that you have shown toward us, the love that you have shown toward us in your precious Son, Jesus Christ. For, Father, we gather in his name. We gather knowing that our redemption can be sure because you are a God of covenant. Father, we look back at this week and we thank you for all that you've done. There are many who face hardship. There is sickness, but, oh God, you can strengthen them, strengthen their families, watch over them and keep them. Hold them close to you now in this their time of need. For each of us, Father, we're so in so much need of your love and your presence. Father, we pray this morning not only for our church, but for our community, for our state, and for the world around us. Oh God, there are things happening which we cannot understand. We think about the folks in California who get ready for a hurricane. They haven't had one in 84 years, and we'll have those now who want to worship the earth, who will say that if we just did this or that, things would be different. No, Father, these are the consequences of your world. But we place those folks in your hands, and we pray, O God, that you would watch over and keep as many safe as you possibly can and allow our authorities to act in a responsible manner. Sometimes, Father, it's because we neglect to do the things which we know we should do that make terrible situations even worse. So we pray for those folks now as they will experience a great storm. Father, we pray for, again, for our country and all of its needs. And we are in great need, Father. Not only because our country on a whole has failed to recognize you and follow your law and your ways, but because, Father, we're proud of it. Forgive us of our trespasses. Lead us, O God, not into further sin. We ask now that you would continue with us. Be with us in this hour of worship. As we open your word, O God, take this servant. Bless your word. Use this time that we can draw closer to you. This is your house. We are your people. And we meet in your name. Father, continue with us now. In the name of Christ, I ask it. Amen. Well, I'm back. It is good to see all of you this morning. If I can set that down without knocking everything else down, we'll be all right. You know, I was going to say this is part of my message this morning, but I've found one thing that's good about having this essential tremor. It gives me more. I can hardly do anything. I mean, I'm really pretty useless. If you thought I was useless before, it's worse. But the one nice thing about it is I can still read and study, and boy, I take advantage of that. If you don't believe me, you ask Miss Judy, she'll tell you. Every time she's looking for me, I'm often with a book. I don't watch Cowboys anymore as much as I used to. I think because I've seen them all. And even though there was a time that I couldn't remember them all, I'm starting to remember them, and it really takes a lot of the fun out of it. But you know, in each of the struggles and the trials that we face, we can find a blessing. We can find something that makes all the bad situation tolerable. And I can speak for myself, and gives me an opportunity to work on some of the things that I neglected over the years. I'm not like you. I sometimes neglect the things of God. But now there's time. And it's so refreshing. It's just wonderful that I get to read and study. And I hope that will bear fruit this morning. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22 and going on to chapter 6 and verse 3. Galatians 5, 22 through 6, 13. And if you're able, would you please stand for the reading and the hearing of God's word? Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in step with the Spirit. Let us not become those with vain glory, challenging one another and envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Each of you looking to yourselves, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated. I suspect when you heard me reading the scripture this morning, one of the first things that came to your mind was, well, I've heard this message before. And there have been many, many sermons preached about Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But if you're clever, you saw that I didn't stop at verse 24. I don't want to disappoint anyone, but the truth of the matter is that you probably have not heard this message before, because this is not one of the main focuses that we place on the fruits of the Spirit. We tend to speak more about love, joy, and peace, and possibly patience. Kindness, almost never. Goodness and faithfulness, way too far down that list. And gentleness and self-control are probably not even considered. So, of course, I would choose from my listing of the fruits of the Spirit that we don't commonly think about. That Spirit, that fruit being gentleness. The title of my message this morning is More Gentleness, Please. Now, I have to admit, I was reading an article, and that was the heading in the article, "More Gentleness, Please." And then, you know, and on and on and on. And I thought, I know that word. I've heard that word before. Gentleness. And there it is. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Well, and that sent me on this search that you'll take with me this morning. A bit of a trip. But we'll see what happens. Before we go any further, it's important that we define what gentleness is. The Oxford Advanced Learner's Dictionary defines gentleness as the quality of being calm and kind. The quality of being calm and kind. How beneficial and pleasant would our present, would our physical, our mental, our social world be if we practiced more gentleness? If we understood something about gentleness? If God's people took time to think about all the fruits of the Spirit? And I'll tell you a little later in the message, we don't get to choose one fruit of the Spirit over another fruit of the Spirit and say, well, I'm going to take that, I'm going to do this, and I'll be good. No. That's not the way God blesses us, and that's not the way the Spirit worked in our life. And don't let anybody convince you that we are not a people who practice and preach the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We do. We know it. We live it. You see, when we're converted, the beginning of conversion, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. God in His grace gives us a Holy Spirit that marries with man's spirit and begins to get rid of all the old junk that's in us. Now, I don't know about you, but I had a lot of old junk in there. And it took years for the Spirit to work through that stuff. Yeah, years. Think of it. How many prayers that we pray, oh God, make me this, oh God, make me that, oh God, help me do this, oh God, help me do that. And it's almost as if we forget that the Spirit is already in us working. Working. And all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, and all we get down the list, gentleness. Gentleness. God's people have to be a gentle people. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is different than the gifts of the Spirit. Paul makes that very clear in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. Now, there are various gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministry, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but the same God who works everything for everyone, but each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, the person of the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Spirit for what is profitable. We sometimes get confused with the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. I was going to bring my audio-visual this morning that I had years ago when I taught the gifts of the Spirit. And it was a big green thing, and he rolled it out. And he pointed, and Judy said, are you going to take that? I said, no, because they'll just make fun of me. They'll say, Jim just can't figure out all this AV stuff. So he would just send us the stuff, and we'd put it on the screen, and he would look so much smarter. I need all the help I can get. Let's go back for just a minute and look at all the scripture that I read for you. Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk with the Spirit. That's so interesting. in step with the Holy Spirit, if we live with God, if we're converted by Jesus Christ, if we found redemption through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells in us, and Paul doesn't say, well, just go along and get along. Paul says, walk in step with the Spirit. Right there with you. Imagine that. That's so hard to imagine. It really is. I'm in step with the Spirit. I know something about walking in step, and those of you who have been in the military, you know something about that. You always have somebody that has to skip along to get back into step. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, you didn't do that. In the Marines, we did a lot of marching. We marched everywhere. We marched places nobody should ever march. We marched places that nobody should ever go. We really did. And you never go anywhere without marching. Let's march over here. Let's march over. I was so tired of marching. But you know, that's where I learned you have to be in step. If you're not in step, you're going to trip all the people around you. God just tells Paul what to say. Be in step with the Spirit, and if you're in step with the Spirit, you won't trip all the people around you. Now, I'm not very smart, but that's what it says to me. It's just ingenious. Let's go to verse 26. Now, Paul gives us what it will not be present within the body of Christ. Things that will not be present in the body of Christ. Let us not become those with vainglory, challenging one another, and envying one another. You won't find those things with the people who have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. My. It almost would be a pleasant place to go, wouldn't it? It almost would they'd be pleasant people to be around. No vainglory, no envying. Huh. What a wonderful congregation. I look out this morning. Here you are. Those qualities aren't in you. They're in you, but they're not running rampant through you because you're in step with the Spirit. Oh, my. Paul tells us what we're not going to do, and then he goes on See, chapter 6, I keep thinking it should be a part of chapter 5. That's why I didn't stop there. I think those first three verses in 6 belong more appropriately to chapter 5. But then I didn't print this Bible. Verses 1 and 2 are rather straightforward, aren't they? Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual. See, if I was writing that, I'd keep repeating that. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit, of, come on, get your act together, be like me, in a spirit of, what's wrong with you? Why do you have to act like that? No. In a spirit of, we don't act like that here. And if you want to be a part of this body, you have to act this way and you have to do that. And if you've fallen, then you're weak and there's something wrong with you and you're just going to have to pray until you build yourself up and then you can come back and be a part of our congregation. I figured that out. Paul said, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, to be kind, to hold them up, not in vainglory. You see, when one of us fall, we learn from our Lord's parables that the shepherd picks up the one that's weak and he carries that shepherd back to the that sheep back to the flock. Gentleness. More gentleness, please. when we get to verse 3, and I'll go quickly here, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, that's the way to end all that, isn't it? You know what that just said? Jim, you're not anywhere, you're not even close to who you think you are. You think you're really something. Well, you're not. See, I can convince myself how great I am. Although it seems unlikely, I might even be able to convince Judy how great I am. But God knows. And if anyway, what a wonderful way to end this discussion of the fruit of the Spirit, and particularly gentleness. If you think so highly of yourself, you're deceiving yourself. You see, when I see the sin of the world, I'm not above that. I've got the answer for it, but I'm not above it. Those are the people that my God loves. Well, how do I know God loves those people? Because, listen, I was one. I don't want to burst your bubble. You were one. We were all lost without a Savior. We all lived in some kind of sin. I don't know what it was. I don't care what it was. None of my business. That's between you and God. But that day, that day that we found Jesus Christ, or more appropriately, that he was recognized by us. We didn't find Jesus. He was never lost. We were lost. And we found him. And in us dwelt now the Spirit of God. And all these fruits of the Spirit began to take hold and take root and to grow. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but 9. They all began to grow. And now we're the people that we are today. Will somebody say, thank God? Thank God. Thank God he's redeemed us. Thank God that Jesus Christ died for us. Thank God that he rose and ascended into heaven. Thank God that he imparted the Holy Spirit to this world. Thank God that we don't have to be a people out there floundering around lost. Thank God for that. What's the message of the gospel? Jesus is alive. Well, it got to be more than that. Really? Have you read it? The message of the gospel is Jesus is alive, and because he is alive, you can have life. And the gates of death, Peter, and the gates of Hades, Peter, and the gates of hell will never prevail against you. You will never die. Wow, Jesus did that for me. What a simple message. Got to be more to it than that. You just let the Holy Spirit take control. Now, I'm in our Bible study, we're doing James. So, of course, I have to go to James because, well, I'm convinced the book was named after me. No? James said it this way in chapter 3, verses 13, 17, and 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good conduct and works in the gentleness of wisdom. The wisdom that is first pure and peaceable, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, without doubting, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by all those who make peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we lived in a world where there was more gentleness, a little more willingness to yield? Huh? A society and a church and politics and social media and on the streets. What a world that would be. You know, it really is getting to the point where you don't like to turn on television anymore with the news, because it's not only up-to-date news, but there just isn't any good news. It's bad news all the time. And people are they're mean out there. They're mean people. And they do mean things. And I'm talking about the people that are in control. I'm not talking about the poor souls in the streets. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about the desperate people that feel there's no way out. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about the people who live in squalor and watch the buildings fall down around them, and they go, the only way I'm going to get out of here is to take advantage of everyone that's weaker than I am. It's human instinct. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people who are in charge, who allow those things to happen. Now, James tells us something about the wisdom. He gives us two wisdoms. Notice that. Wisdom that is earthy and wisdom from above. You see, we continue to try to do it on our own. We want to do and we want to perform everything that God would have us to do on our own. Just between me and you. Don't let anybody else know this, okay? Be our secret. You can't do it. You can't do it on your own. You cannot live a Christ-like life without the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And if you question whether the Spirit is in you, I'm going to give you a remedy for that in a moment. Without the Holy Spirit flourishing in our lives, producing this fruit, and I can look around this congregation and see the evidence of that fruit over and over and over again. My little sticky note came off there. Before we... I want to make one note so that we don't get all out of kilter here. Jesus was gentle and understanding. It did not make him weak. No. If anyone was what we would call a man's man, it was Jesus. But listen to what Jesus said to us in Matthew. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How does God talk about the people of Israel? If we go to Hosea, we read, and Hosea, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called him. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking him by their arms. I drew them with gentle cords, with hands of love, and I am with them, and pray and ask that they take the yoke from their neck. God deals with his people with gentleness, with kindness, with love. And he gives us peace. So that we can provide a witness to the world. It's important that we understand what gentleness is and is not. First, he has to establish where gentleness comes from. He does that. James does that wonderfully. He establishes two wisdoms. One is earthy, natural, and demonic. see any of that around us, wisdom? You see people when they're left their own devices? I wanted to go to Washington and find somebody that was smart that would really define for me what wisdom was. You can laugh. But I figured, no, the wisdom that's there is the wisdom of this world. The wisdom that's there is the wisdom that's learned in the great universities. The wisdom that's there is taught by people who think they know something. The wisdom that's there has been the same wisdom that has been taught for years and generations and over and over and over again. Now, this wisdom of the world, which is earthy and demonic, has gotten us into war, has gotten us into poverty, has wrecked our cities. Think about it. This is the wisdom of the world, and James is saying the wisdom of the world is not the wisdom that we want anything to do with. There are two wisdoms. Don't miss it. James is, I love the book of James. And those of you that are in that my Bible study, I do get carried away with James sometimes. I thank the Lord for Miss Susie, who reminds me every once in a while, don't get preachy, Jimmy. She's a good friend, I guess. The second wisdom is the wisdom that's from above. It is pure, peaceable, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits. There's that word again. Without doubting, without hypocrisy. Take a moment to look at these characteristics. If we lived by the wisdom that comes to us from heaven, what a different world it would be. I have a secret for you. We're the only ones that are going to be able to tell the world how to live and what this wisdom is. There isn't anybody else out there. There isn't anywhere we go. There isn't any place that we can just pull up and get some. No. God has given it to us, and that's the wisdom that we have to share. That's the message that we have to share. Those are the things that we have to understand. Gentleness, kindness. How do we do that? Well, for instance, the 27th, next Sunday, World Hunger Sunday, we're going to bring food and bring canned goods, and then we'll take that around to the less fortunate. See, we think, well, that's just something we do. No, that's not something you just do. That's a kind act that you do. Why do you do that? Because we're the people of God. Because the Holy Spirit that dwells in us tells us I have to care for the people who are less fortunate than I am. That's not you figuring that out. We're not philanthropists, we're Christians. We do that because God demands that of us. How do I know that? Because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not real smart, but I can put things together if you lay them out for me. You know, I can't draw a straight line anymore, but I can get from point A to point B. And it's just that simple. And it's just that difficult. Because it requires that we give up the old man, that we crucify the flesh, as Paul would say. And we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us the way God intended it, that we would be the people who would tell the rest of the world about our Lord and about all these other qualities that are the fruit of the Spirit. No, you don't take one and leave it. Leave the other. For the purpose this morning, it is important to understand the culture that existed in our country, whether right or wrong, good or bad, was influenced by the church. One of the worst things that was said, oh, I don't know, probably near 20 years ago now, was that we are not a Christian nation. And what that says to you is, listen, we are multicultural. That means that anyone can define the culture no matter where they're from. And I beg your pardon, you can't. allow everybody to define a culture, because if you do that, you have these little wars. What would we call them? We call them countries. And one country's ideas are different than another country's ideas, are different than another country's ideas. Understand, the church was the one who guided the culture of this nation. Don't let anyone tell you that's not true. It is absolutely true. Well, I don't understand what's going on in the world today. I don't understand. And they're doing it, and they're tearing down the culture. The culture. They're tearing down the culture. Don't tell me, well, we haven't always been good and we've done bad things. Yeah, you have. We have as a country. So has everyone else. But for some reason, God blessed us because he knew that in this land, the greatest accomplishment of this land throughout its history was the printing and distribution of God's word. Did you ever know that? And you go, oh, yeah. Just imagine that. Because no one could stop the press. There was a freedom to write, there was a freedom of religion, there was a freedom to print, and there was a freedom to distribute, and nobody inhibited that. What a blessing that was to the world. God blessed the world through the printing press. Well, Jim, I'm absolutely right. Because when you read the Bible, you can't help but ask, who is this? Who is this Jesus? It's like the people who have the Tanakh, the Old Testament, when they read through the whole Testament, the Old Testament ends in the history, I'm going to remember it, Tom. It ends with the history, the Old Testament, the Jewish Old Testament. When they read the Old Testament and they get to the end, there are very few Jews that do not say, what happens next? Chronicles. What happens next? And if you read that, if you go, but don't read the prophets last, read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and when you get done with 2nd Chronicles and you read the last word, you will say in your mind, what happens next? What's next? Where's God? What's he going to do? How's he going to do it? What's next? As the church's influence decreased in the society, so the culture within the society died. That's not political. They say, oh, don't say anything political from the pulpit. Well, okay. I will tell you that the Democratic Republic that we live in is floundering. That's not political. That's a statement of fact. And that is happening because the church has lost the influence over the culture. Christians, this next year could be very difficult for us because the church will be influenced and tried to be influenced, and Christian people will try to be influenced by all kinds of people as we get ready for this 2024 election. Be careful. There are people who will demonstrate aggression, self-ambition, and arrogance, and lie against the truth. What's the truth? Jesus Christ and him crucified. The only way we're going to get out of this mess that we find ourselves in as a country is through the power of Jesus Christ. The only way we're going to demonstrate that power to the world around us is through the gifts of the Spirit indwelling in us. And we become truly a different kind of people. I want to be a different kind of person. Well, I want to be a different kind of person just because. But we want it, we're a different people. We demonstrate that with our graciousness. Remember the topic of gentleness. There's no place that we can go to or a magic formula that will allow us to become a more gentle people. As a neighborhood, a city, a state, or a country, the only place that we can gain the understanding of gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit is through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you this morning. I challenge you. Please go back and read Galatians 5:22-24. I'd get there. Go back and read that. And if those qualities are not present in your life, then begin to pray. God gave us power through His Son, Jesus Christ, gaining the use of that power through prayer and Bible study and devotion is the only way we're going to manifest the Christian life that we would live. Let me say that again. Through prayer, Bible study, and devotion. Did everyone, through prayer, Bible study, and devotion over and over and over again. When we begin to change the world around us by our influence, we do that. We can all have an influence over our families, our circle of friends, those we come in contact with daily, and through our congregation, believing a devoted, Spirit-filled life. Next week, a food drive, an act of kindness. Because it's what we do. Because it's who we are. Modern day pushes people to demand instead of yield. To shout instead of speak softly. To be aggressive instead of humble. And to act with brazenness and brashness instead of gentleness and kindness. Christians, we must resist these trends by striving to imitate the traits and the characters of Jesus Christ. There's only one way. No secret formulas. More gentleness, please. Grow in the Spirit of Christ. Walk step by step with that Spirit. And it's as Paul gave instructions to Christians long ago. Let your gentleness be known to all men. That's in Philippians 4:5. God bless us as we attempt to do His will in these difficult days. Amen.